church is one foundation, is certainly Jesus Christ our Lord. As we think about the foundation for your life, we hope and pray that it is upon Jesus Christ. We're so very thankful to have several visitors among us. Appreciate you coming to study the Word of God with us, and we hope and pray it be beneficial to you. Of course, our focus attention this next week is on our gospel meeting, April 24th through the 29th, with John Robertson. I'm sorry, she said 19th to the 24th. I knew we'd miss that. 19th to the 24th. Apologize for that. As we think about concerning this gospel meeting effort, the days are swiftly passing towards eternity. We're going to be judged by the deeds done in the body. And as we recognize concerning that fact, we need to recognize, is my heart right with God? Why am I living? Am I putting the Lord first in my life? As we think about concerning in sports analogies concerning those who are fans of their team, and they'll go with their team through the highs and the lows. True fans will do that. And as we think about concerning the highs and the lows of the season, and you think about it, at the end, there's only going to be one team that wins. Everybody else loses. Even if they got to the championship game or whatever sport they desire, all those fans, almost all of them are going to be disappointed. Those things are going to perish concerning the love. Though I'm not saying it's wrong to have a team that you're rooting for. But when we think about it, concerning the most important thing in your life, is it Jesus Christ as you consider your life? Our minds need to be refreshed. And why are we having this meeting in view of eternity? And so think about this lesson. We're going to use the acronym GOSPEL for making these points. First of all, the importance of gathering together to hear God's Word. You have done that this morning, and that is commendable. As you think about concerning gathering together, I'm reminded of concerning Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, we remember concerning Cornelius, who was a good man, the Bible says. He feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed to God always. But he was not a Christian yet. The gospel hadn't come to the Gentiles yet. And the Jews are thinking, no, the Gentiles aren't worthy of receiving the gospel. And they wouldn't associate with them. Peter, even as he is going to Cornelius' house, he is concerned about having fellowship with sin. Remember, he has given the vision three times. When God is cleansed, no longer consider unholy, so he could come together. But I want you to notice concerning Cornelius. What did he do as a result of knowing that Peter is going to come and preach to him? In Acts chapter 10, verse 24. Acts 10, verse 24. Now, falling day, they entered Caesarea. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. We think about, as we look at the gospel, the importance for us, we think about concerning our loved ones. We think about our relatives and close friends. And so we're inviting those whom we love to come to this gospel meeting, especially those who are lost and dying in their sins. And so Cornelius was concerned. This is very important. I want my relatives and close friends to come hear the gospel also. And notice what they came together for. Notice the reason why they came together for in verse 33. What is so sad and so tragic today is that some will just come together for entertainment and for fun and for food. That's what they might be coming for. And maybe we'll throw a little bit of gospel in, but their main desire is, I want the enjoyment. I want the fun. I want the pleasure. That's not why Cornelius was going to gather together his friends and his relatives and come to hear also. Verse 33, it said, I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded you by God. He wanted to come to hear what the Lord had commanded, not to tell him what was going to make him feel good, but the commandments of the Lord. Is that your aim and goal and desire? We hope and pray, and that's what it's going to be in this gospeling effort. As John Robertson gives us book, chapter, and verse, we're going to hear things commanded by the Lord. How many will support? Yeah, they'll support their favorite team. All right, now concerning our child, support our team and want to be there for every time. Because to not be there, our child might be discouraged by that. How many will do it with zeal concerning their friends, but then show apathy towards the gospel meeting and not be here when they could have been here for this gospel meeting? We need to recognize concerning there are many that will make excuses. In Luke chapter 14, as the invitation is going out, in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 16, Jesus said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things now are ready.' But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. All things are ready, come to the feast.'" Here's the spiritual feast. Now, we're talking about the physical food, but as he talks about the kingdom of heaven, are you going to be here for this spiritual feast, or will you make excuses? Well, as some people might say, well, I've invited many people, and you know, they promised to come, and they don't come. They haven't come to the past. You know what? The Lord desires that everyone come, so you compel them, you encourage them to come in. You go by the highways and the hedges to have them come in. For those who would think about, I want somebody just like me and somebody I'll get along with. Jesus died for everyone. Will you be here to gather together to hear the word of God? That's what Cornelius and his household, as they obeyed the gospel of Christ in Acts chapter 10 and verse 48. Also, it's an opportunity to grow spiritually. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Apostle Peter says this. He said, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Think about concerning babies, and they got to have that milk to survive. Do we recognize concerning spiritually, we've got to have the milk of the word if we're going to grow spiritually? It's wonderful to see those babies grow and things changing every day. To 1, to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And they grow and they grow and they grow. And we can see that physical growth. Sometimes it's not as discernible spiritually. But we know in our hearts, if we desire the word of God, that we desire more and more. And if we do that, we are going to grow spiritually. We should have that same longing for the word of God, like those newborn babies have to have that milk. And there's an opportunity to grow spiritually. To ask the question, have you lost your spiritual appetite for what is holy? Because we think about that verse before that, where he said, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking." In verse 3, right after that, concerning if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. You might remember as we studied last week concerning the Kohathites. You think about Korah and his rebellion. You remember that last week for those who were here. And you look upon how they, here God had promised a land flowing with milk and honey. They weren't faithful. They didn't trust or obey God. They complained and moaned and whined. And so for those 10 times, they had done that. And God had enough. They listened to 10 out of 12 spies, and thus they're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They were going to be judged as a result of that. And then when they were making their arguments against Moses and Aaron, "You have brought us out from the land flowing with milk and honey," Egypt is what they're thinking, "in order to come and die in this wilderness." You see how they look upon that? They hadn't realized the kindness of the Lord. The kindness of the Lord had brought them out of Egyptian bondage. And we've been brought out from bondage to sin, redeemed by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here's an opportunity that we have to grow spiritually. So shouldn't we desire that? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be envious. I don't want to be, as you mentioned here, evil speaking and having malice. So if we tasted the kindness of the Lord, we're going to want more and more of it, aren't we? It's gracious. The Lord is gracious to us if we understand the truth of it. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer is writing to those brethren who are drifting away from the Word of God and need to be reminded. Are we drifting away from the Word of God to whereby we don't have that appetite any longer? Man, think about physically speaking. You know, I'd love to have maybe a steak or whatever your favorite meal is, lasagna. All these desires that we might have. Oh, I've got to have that. Yeah, we got to have that to live. But spiritually, we've got to have the food in order to live. We talked about milk, desiring the pure milk of the Word that we might grow thereby. Well, here, concerning these brethren, they had become dull of hearing. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, he wanted to explain to them more about the priesthood according to Melchizedek. He said in verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, or those who are mature, depending on your translation there. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That lets us know concerning, well, I know if God says for me to do this and God says for me to not to do that, that's what I'm going to follow. The whole thing is that as we hunger and thirst for the righteousness, that solid food, we're going to discern good and evil. Sometimes it's not always very clear concerning that point, but here we want the solid food. We can grow, and we should grow, in order to have that solid food. Well, if our babies don't go on to that solid food at some point, we're going to be very concerned. We should be very concerned if we don't want to get to that solid food, the point of maturity. Because if we don't desire that, we're going to be taught again the elementary principles of the oracles of God. Let's not degenerate back into infancy again, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the last thing the Apostle Peter said, for he was to pass on this earth, at least written down for and by inspiration, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Will you be here every service, this opportunity to grow spiritually? We also have the saving power, realize the saving power of the gospel. The gospel is still God's power to save. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? As we're getting more and more in this generation to whereby it just really seems strange to those who would follow Christianity. It's being considered more and more weird, and here concerning that more and more people aren't accepting of that. And so maybe we don't want to stick out and try to invite others. What else is going to save your soul? Only the gospel. It is the dynamite, if you will. As you look upon that Greek word, it's the Greek word, as we think about the English word, dynamite. But it has a good power. It has a power to save your souls. Well, what would that food and drink do for you? The Apostle Paul said to the Roman brethren, "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." You notice the contrast between the physical and the spiritual? The Holy Spirit bringing what is spiritual, righteousness and peace and joy compared to eating and drinking. Because we do that, that's still going to perish. Our body is going to, we're going to live forever. We're going to be resurrected from one day. We need to recognize the saving power of the gospel. It hasn't changed in its power since the first century. It is a living word. You remember all the disciples that were walking away from Jesus? These were those who claimed to be his disciples. And he had fed the 5,000. You remember that? He had fed the 5,000 plus the women and the children. And 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Clearly a miracle. And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. You need to come to me and eat of me in order to have life." But they were saying, it's a difficult saying. Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in yourself." Some have misunderstood that to think, well, it's the Lord's Supper. Unless you eat of that, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about his words. As John 6 and verse 63, 63 tells us. My words are spirit in our life. They're spiritual and they're life-giving. And so as they're all walking away, and the apostles, and you imagine you're there, they're all walking away from Jesus. You're going to follow the crowd? You remember the apostle Peter and what he said? He said, "To whom shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life." You have the words. Where else are we going to go for the words of eternal life? Jesus performed many miracles. John writes about 7 of those miracles. In John 20, verse 30 and 31, he said many, therefore, miracles that he had done. These have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. By believing, you may have life in His name. That's why these have been written. The miracles, wonders, and signs confirm that He is the Son of God. And these words will judge us in the last day. But also, as you think about concerning the last day, if we believed and obeyed Him, we'll have eternal life. What do the lost need to hear most of all? They don't need to be comforted in their sins. In Romans 5, verse 6, "When we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Christ died for the ungodly. We have a care and concern for their souls. Jesus did. Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. We need to recognize that's the only way we'll be saved from the wrath to come. Let us sow that seed so that it can happen. The saving power of the gospel will be preached. And then, see, John is not going to be preaching to satisfy the souls of individuals. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 has never changed and will never change. Well, say the gospel is out of season. Well, it might be out of season, but he was told to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season, when they like it and when they don't like it. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. Why is that so important? Are you listening? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but want to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside unto fables. He told them, you endure, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, endure. John has preached the gospel for many years. And Colin Tiffany had worshiped with him for many, many years up in Wichita Falls. I believe he's going to preach the truth of God's word. I think I've heard him preach once. You look at the example of Peter and John. You think about Jesus teaching them. He was very patient and long-suffering with them. Yes, they had to learn lots of lessons. But they were willing to stand up and to preach that you with wicked hands have crucified the Son of God. Why? To get them told? To make them feel bad? No. So that their souls might be saved. And so here they stand boldly before the Sanhedrin. And what did the Sanhedrin, as we might think about like in Supreme Court, had the power to punish them, and did, as they were flogged for preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're telling them, you can't do that anymore. But they noticed one thing. As they were boldly speaking forth the word, they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. As we think about concerning and preaching the word of God, we need to recognize concerning may not necessarily please us. May not necessarily please me. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1, as he rebuked the Galatian brethren, they were turning away from the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And he said in verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through revelation of Jesus Christ." Yes, the Apostle Paul spoke by inspiration. And he wrote down the commandments of the Lord, which we still have here today. Was he trying to please men or God? He was trying to please God. So he told them the truth. John is going to preach the truth in love. He's going to speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 tells us to do that. Well, as you think about concerning the preaching of the Word of God, that is going to happen. But we need to be good listeners and examine these things. Examine our lives and be doers. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, be doers of the Word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. We think about concerning after the gospel. Here the gospel is preached. And I go out and I don't think about anything that has been preached. Isn't that just like what he said here? Forgetting what we have heard, forgetting what we have learned. We need to take it in. This is spiritual food. This is life-giving food. We need to have the attitude and mindset of verse 25. Are you listening? Are you doing the same thing? He said, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The perfect law of liberty. Is that the way you look upon it? Because it frees us from our sins. It frees us from bondage. We have to make application, be ready to make application to our life. We need to be like the Bereans, who are more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. That's the attitude and mindset that we have. You know, those who are going to the Super Bowl, or those who are going to the World Series or NBA championships or the Stanley Cup, here they want to be there. As we think about concerning, this is for our eternal life. This is our Super Bowl, if you will. This is our World Series. As far as the desire of placing God first, to examine the Scriptures daily. Are we hungering and thirsting after righteousness so that we'll desire to hear the preaching of the Word of God? Because that's what is going to happen next week, this coming week. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, the Apostle Paul said some discouraging things to the elders of the church at Ephesus. He had told them some difficult things. That others are going to come in and not spare the flock, even among yourselves. Draw away men after themselves. That's a very discouraging thing. How you can deal with it as you think about concerning the discouraging or difficult times? What we need to remember is Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. He said, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Well, what is the word of his grace able to do? He said, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Build you up. It will edify you. It will strengthen you. Are you going to be here to edify the saints? Many trials that we face in our lives. How are we going to overcome that? I want you to think about the fact that as you look at the wise and the foolish men, did you notice the storms all came? They all come to everyone. Whether you're righteous or wicked. We've been studying the book of Job for about a month. And we see that he was a righteous man, fearing God and turning away from evil, and yet he lost everything that he had. And he suffered with bullets from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. His wife told him to curse God and die. His three friends are trying to get him to repent of a sin he committed, and God will restore you. And so he has to endure through all of that, even though righteous. You're going to face trials. How are you going to overcome? What does the wise man do versus the foolish? He's a doer of what he hears. And this is hopefully an encouragement to us. Will you be here to edify the saints? It's going to be encouraged as we think about the power of Hebrews 10, verse 23 and 24. Hebrews 10, verses 23 and 24. The Hebrew writer says by inspiration here, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Here's the positive passage concerning we want to hold the confession of our faith. We have believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. At one point we confessed it before other witnesses. We're willing to be baptized for the remission of our sins. As we think about it concerning our lives, we can continue, not just that one time, but continue to confess Jesus Christ before men. And so as we come together It will be an encouragement to lift and strengthen and encourage one another towards love and towards good deeds, so that we won't follow the habit of others who are forsaking the assembling of themselves together. Let us be encouraged. Others will be discouraged by your absence. And finally, looking unto Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, the scripture says, by the grace of God, Jesus tasted death for everyone. Maybe sometimes we don't appreciate that. I think about concerning in our society, hey, the rich get special treatment. They might be above the law. They might be able to buy anything that they want, have all their services, do all their bidding. And life is not fair because of the rich can have anything they want. But it isn't going to last. You think about concerning the poor. As you think about, as you look to the New Testament, yes, there are some rich, but there are few compared to the many. Concerning those who are poor, who don't have the things of this world, generally are more receptive to the gospel. It's not always the case, but in general, you see the poor nations that are more desirous in general to hear the word of God than those who are prosperous. Jesus died for everyone, male or female, slave or free, rich or poor. He died for all. The Hebrew writer talks in the Hebrews chapter 12. He just talked about those in the hall of fame. Here are these great cloud of witnesses. Here they're surrounding us to be faithful, be faithful. And so we think about as a running a race. And we're running in this race and it's like a marathon. What must we do? He said, you lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How are we going to do that? Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The gospel meaning, we're going to look to Jesus. As you think about concerning the New Testament, God now speaks through his Son. As you think about concerning the preaching in the New Testament, God is speaking through his Son. We're looking unto Jesus. Well, do we need that? We most certainly do. Because we can grow weary and lose heart as we think about this marathon race that we are running. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is sitting at the right hand of God. He made it possible for us to go to heaven. Look to Jesus. So we ask the question, who are you looking for advice and guidance and security in your life? Is it riches or pleasure, the things of this life? They're all going to perish. You might remember concerning Moses. And you remember that example as we think about those in the hall of faith. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11 verse 24. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. I want you to notice concerning he could have lived a life of ease and peace and security. He could have done that. But what did he do? What did he choose? He realized these are passing pleasures. He wanted to suffer affliction with the people of God. What was he looking to? He was looking towards the eternal reward. Who do you look to as your reward? We should look to Jesus. This is the way that we'll grow spiritually and become more like him every day. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Apostle Paul here says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Instead of conforming to this world, let us be conformed to the image of his Son. We have the opportunity to do that in this gospel meaning, looking unto Jesus. Well, in conclusion, we think about concerning we're going to gather together to hear the word of God. And I just thought, as we think about those who were in a sports-minded society, you know, I want to think about the similarities between those who said, well, why I quit? I don't know who wrote this. But the reasons why I'm quitting, giving up sports, football in the fall, baseball in the summer, basketball in the winter, I've had it all. I quit attending sports forever, and here are my 11 excuses. Every time I went, they asked for money, always asking for money. The people I sat next to, they didn't seem very friendly. The seats were too hard and not comfortable at all. I went to many games, but the coach never came to call on me. The refs made decisions I just couldn't agree with, even with instant replay that we have today. The game went into overtime, and I was late getting home. The band played songs I'd never heard before, and it wasn't my style of music. It seems the games are always scheduled when I want to do other things. I suspect that I was sitting next to some hypocrites. They came to see their friends, and they just talked during the whole game. I was taken to too many games by my parents when I was growing up. I hate to wait in the traffic jam in the parking lot after the game. Isn't it very sad that these same excuses people give for not attending services? You know what? Some of those are willing to sit in below freezing weather in the elements, and we're out of the elements. What is most important for you? Are you going to gather together to hear the Word of God? Because that's what we're going to do. We're going to gather together to hear the Word of God. We have the opportunity to grow spiritually. We're going to hear the saving power of the gospel. The gospel is God's only power to save. The preaching of the Word of God, not the opinions of men, which would not help us. Saints will be edified. You'll be edified by the result of being here, or you should be. We're going to look to Jesus. The feast is ready. As you think about concerning the spiritual food that we're going to be able to receive. Some people might say, I'm looking forward to the physical food. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And His words are of eternal life. All things are ready. Come to the feast. We hope and pray that you'll come to the spiritual feast. But now Jesus asks, come unto me, is the song of encouragement that we have. Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day to come as we think about concerning our lives? Examining yourselves by the Scriptures. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The only way that we're going to be redeemed is through the blood of Christ. And He was willing to do that for you and for me. By the grace of God, Jesus tasted death for everyone. Will you not respond to the invitation if you're a sinner and in need of salvation? Because eternal torment awaits to those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 8. We need to recognize this might be the last day upon this earth that we might live or the Lord might return. So was a preacher just like to threaten that? No, it's true, isn't it? Today is the day of salvation. Will you not obey the gospel of Christ? You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith that He is the Son of God. And be buried with Christ in baptism that you might rise to walk in newness of life. You see, the New Testament teaches concerning obeying the gospel of Christ. You can do that. You can go from here rejoicing. Or if you need to be restored, if you aren't living a faithful life, if you brought reproach on the Lord and on His church, you can be restored. You can come back like Simon the sorcerer was told to repent and pray. So if you need to obey the gospel, or you need to repent and pray for forgiveness, or need the prayers of the congregation, God calls, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.
Trust my mind. God. of business, cares of pressing debt, cares of social life, or cares of hopes unmet, or do by remorse or sense of guilty breath. Come right now to Jesus, He will give you rest.
As far as the 24th to the 29th, hey, right on the headline. But how can a preacher do that? I've been saying all week, it's going to start Saturday night to next Thursday, 19th to the 24th. And I guess in the back of my mind, and back when I was at Brenham, we always started on Thursday night, and that's the last night is the 24th. And so I just got in my head wrong, and I apologize for that. So 19th to the 24th, and there's plenty of cards still left in the back for you to pass out to your friends and neighbors and loved ones. Thank you for your consideration of the scripture.
Before we're dismissed, let us sing number 436, I'll Fly Away. Number 436. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadow of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars is flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away.
Pray with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this Lord's Day morning and the privilege we had as Christians to gather together to hear another portion of Thy Word. We pray that our worship has been pleasing unto Thee. Lord, we're so thankful that we live in a country where we have this right to assemble. We pray that if it be Thy will, we might retain that freedom, and if not, that we will remain faithful. We know that many of our brethren around the world do not enjoy this freedom. Lord, we're thankful for the lesson this morning. We're thankful for Brother Locklear as he labors here with us, and we pray that we will apply what he said this morning, that we might strive every day to improve our spiritual growth, and we might keep that in mind with the opportunity to attend our gospel meeting, that we might grow spiritually and become closer to Thee. Lord, we pray that You'll be with those that have been mentioned this morning, those that have ill in our congregation. We have many ill. We have many that can't be here this morning, like Ada Scott and Bill and June Moore and Tom Anderson. We pray that you'll bless them. But we equally, Lord, are very happy to see Arthur Brown and Kevin Williams and Dorothy Droke and Sharon Simpson. We're so glad that they can be able to worship with us, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'll be with the Botter family as they deal with the loss of their son, that you will comfort them as only you can. And you'll be with Patty Talley's uncle, Bud Morgan, that you might be with the doctors and nurses that are administering to him, and everything that can be done will be done, Lord, that you'll be with this family during this difficult time. And you pray that you'll be with Cassie's friend, Mr. Matthews, that you'll bless him and the doctors and nurses that are working on him, that if it be thy will, that he might have his health restored. And Lord, anyone that we might overlook, that you know before we ask what our needs are. Pray that you'll be with us as the physical sick, Lord. We know that that body dies and it decays and dies. And that more importantly, Lord, that you'll be with those that are spiritually ill, that something might be done in their lives, something might happen to make them change their ways before it's everlastingly too late. Lord, we pray that you'll be with us as we leave this place, that calling for storms, that we might have the benefit of the rain, but you might spare us the damage and potential devastation that could come with serious storms, that you will keep us safe and return us back this afternoon, if it be thy will. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.
lunch be on school grounds?